Praise God.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thank God for this opportunity to come to you once again this week on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. And truly, we rejoice and be glad in it. And with that, I want to welcome you all to Crown Talking Drums radio station, where our Apostle Willie J. Armstrong is the founder and CEO. I am your host, Renee. And I would like to welcome you all once again to this broadcast in the process. Right now, I'm going to open up in prayer. Amen? Amen? Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you giving you thanks, honor, and praise, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for this day, oh God. I thank you, Lord, because we woke up, Lord, with the activities of our limbs, oh God. Breath in our lungs, oh God, to breathe, Lord, all the goodness that you have placed upon us, oh God. Oh, Father God, I ask you right now to look upon this broadcast, oh God. Take me out of self, oh God, and let your glory, and all your marvelous works, Lord, touch us, oh God. Take me out of self, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And right now, I want to ask you if you have your Bible. Turn with me to 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John, the 4th chapter. And last week, I just want to give you a brief update for those of you who may have not joined with me last week. We were talking about how we seek hope in the world, but we must first seek hope in Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So with that, I'm going to start off in 1 John, the 4th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse and going until the 10th verse. No, the 11th. Amen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son. And I should stop right there because I should have told you I'm reading from the New King James Version. So I'm going to start on 9 again. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also to love one another. And so what I want to say tonight is, with faith in Christ and hope for eternal fulfillment in this world, we will not find eternal fulfillment. But with Christ, all things are possible. And in order for us to have faith in God, we have to love. We have to know about love. We have to love God and know that he loves us unconditionally. Amen? He loves us unconditionally despite all our faults, all our failures. He loves us despite what we do, he loves us. And so I want to explain, many of us find ourselves dealing with our own present conditions that stem mostly from our past. And often we will find ourselves experiencing what I call highs and lows. For instance, some days we feel like we are ready to take on the whole world. No worries, no stress. After all, let's face it, we can just take interest in something else or someone else's problems and take the real focus off our own problems. But then there are other days we feel just like drowning ourselves in sorrows. We find ourselves in an emotional revolving door and not sure if we're going to really quite reach our intended destination. For pretty much most of my life, and I'm going to use me as an example, my life, I grew up longing for love and affection and acceptance. And without really getting into a lot of details, I will say that I grew up in a pretty dysfunctional home and environment. Nevertheless, I found myself never really fitting in, constantly feeling lack of love, desperately seeking affection and approval from others. It wasn't until later I discovered that I was seeking love because I really didn't know what love was. And because I didn't know the true meaning of love, I really didn't love myself. And don't get me wrong, because though I felt like I was in a never-ending revolving door, I found unconditional love in the eyes of my child. And with this unconditional love, I had all the love and acceptance and approval I could ever need. But it wasn't enough. No. How many of us know that it is not until we come to know and experience unconditional love of God that it is then you can love others and love yourself with that same unconditional love God gives and blesses us with? Most often, as a result of lack of love, we never really detach ourselves from the things that hinder us from moving forward. When we listen and look closely at present times, present day circumstances, present day situations, what do we really hear? Well, we hear hopelessness in a failed economy, depression, stress, anxiety, loss, abuse, relationship problems that are broken, divorce, loneliness, violence. We hear no justice, no peace, but how can we have peace unless we have peace within ourselves? The world is full of brokenness that can be traced all the way back to the opening pages of Genesis. And beginning with chapter 2 and 17 and chapter 3, whereas we do find a solution. But because some of us are oblivious to the truth, or some of us are unwilling to come to the fullness of truth, we tend to blame others and ourselves. But the Bible teaches us to follow the path of truth and gain wisdom. And in all you're getting, in all you're searching for the truth, gain understanding. That's what the Bible teaches us. The truth is we live in a fallen world. And the only way back to recovery is not found in what in materialistic things and pleasures of this world. It's not found in self-independence and reliance on things that only mask our emotions, mask our feelings, camouflage the truth. The unconditional love that is only found in having a real relationship with God. And what is that unconditional love? Well, let me find my notes. Lord, I'm going to be thankful. The unconditional love that I'm talking about is described as agape love. It is not a love of, it is a love of, it's not a love of worthy, being worthy. It is not a love that desires to possess us or take possession of things in our life. It is, agape love is a love given quite irrespectively of merit. And it is the love that seeks to give. It seeks the highest good in the one loved. As God has many attributes to describe his character, love is among them. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. This love that God gives us is unconditional. It is without merit, it is without feeling worthy, and that is where most of us who, I'm not saying all of us, but most of us who feel no self-worth, we feel aloof, we feel discouraged. We feel abandoned. We feel hurt. We feel depression, distress, despair. Is it perhaps because we really don't know the true meaning of love? And that because we truly don't know the meaning of love, we tend to look for love in all the wrong places, in all the wrong people, indulge in all the wrong things. So I want to pose a question to our listening audiences, and I wish I had some audiences also who are on the line of, I call the younger generation. But right now, I'm going to pose this question. What do you see the problem that we are facing in today's society? And what are the problems that we are facing in today's society? And how do you equate it with love, lack of love? So I'm going to call on, I see a caller here from a 630 area code, the first caller. You're on the air, the first caller. I see a caller from 404 area code. I see a caller from 804 area code, and so on. So don't be shy. Don't be bashful. Join in the conversation. Anyone? Hello? Apostle? Are you there? Apostle Armstrong? Okay. Hello, can anyone hear me? Praise God, can anyone hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, do you have any comments or constructive criticism or an idea or input into what I just was discussing?
Yeah, I just would like to say that the kids these days is not respectable at all when we used to, you know, grown up. When we used to come up, the kids are just, you know, I don't know what's wrong with these kids. They don't have no respect for older people and talk to the parents like, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I would say the Bible tells us to train up our kids.
Yes.
In the way. In the way they should go. And then if they stray too far from the word, from the ways of our teaching, that they will not go far away. And
yes.
Perhaps what I am trying to say is, Oftentimes, we ourselves as parents, ourselves as caretakers of our children, do we display that love and affection in their lives? Do we pour it into their lives? Do we plant the seed, that unconditional love that God gives us, into our children's lives, and so that they can mirror That's the point I'm trying to make.
What do you say?
Well, no, your comment is most helpful, because we do have children that are disrespectful, that act out.
Yes.
But what causes them to act out?
I really think that is the, you know, babies having babies, young kids having, you know, kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to, you know, really take care of them or show them love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might be wrong, but that's how I look at it.
No. That's your true feelings.
Yes,
and
it is.
Express what you feel. Thank you so much. Amen. Anyone else?
Well, I think part of the problem starts at home.
That's the bottom line.
It starts at home.
That's right.
Growing up, there was discipline in the household that I grew up in. And people demand respect. One of the things that I saw happen that changed whenever government decided that they're going to control and tell parents what they can do and what they can't do. And then they get all upset when Bobo is shot down in the street. But the government benefited from it because they put them in prison, and they use that prison label. I haven't been a police chaplain for 20 plus years and watched it. And it's, and see, somehow we parents and grandparents gonna have to begin to demand that the state get out of trying to be a parent.
Come on.
That's the bottom line right there. And then I told our kids that we can't feed you. You want to call, go ahead. But have your suitcase packed. Whenever they come out to interview us, you're going to go back with them. And that was the bottom line. You're not going to stay here. And we had an understanding of who was in control and who was doing what.
And the artist who was
And that sort of was helped us in terms of establishing an order and discipline. It's not there. The parents are too busy trying to be the kids' friends now.
There you go. Amen. That's the statement I was going to make. We're trying to make our children equal to us. We're trying to pacify and satisfy them so they won't be angry with us. They won't attack us and they won't do things to us. We don't blame the children 90% and not blame myself 10% because the parents want to be their friends, and I can't be your friend. I can be your mother.
That's right.
But I will not be your friend, because then that means you're my equal and you're not my equal. And then, like she said in the Word of God, a lot of it has come from the pulpit, from children have been things that have happened to them growing up, being molested, being sodomized, being sexually attacked, from people in church that they cared about and they respected. And then it goes to the school. Same thing. Teachers assaulting little girls and boys and things of that magnitude. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. We always want to blame everybody else. I'm saying this.
I'm not blaming everyone else.
The home.
I disagree with you, because you can bring up a child in the atmosphere of holiness, but when that child becomes a certain age, that child will veer out, or that child will stay in that lane. So you can't say it's home training or coming from the home, because charity begins at home and spreads abroad. But you
cannot say it.
I mean, yes, you can say it, but that's not necessarily true.
I went astray. I went astray and I came back.
Yeah.
I knew how far to go.
Yes.
But I knew how far to go. Can I speak? I knew how far to go. I knew what the boundaries were. And I did not cross those boundaries. The young people nowadays don't even have boundaries.
Yeah.
The parents don't have time to instill boundaries there. Okay, you can do this or you can't do that. You take those out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we expect the school to, and all. I'm tired of hearing about pedophiles and all of that. That's I agree that that's happening in the world, but these conspiracy theorist people are pushing that. That's why I can't deal with that. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm saying it's happening right in the home too. Pedophile. And we have to be clear about what it is that we are dealing with, and accepting the responsibility for our own action.
That's good. Come on.
Okay. Well, you do know that we're dealing with spirits, not really dealing with children. We're dealing with the spirits that's in these children.
We're dealing with spirits that's in the adults, and the spirits in the adults are jumping into the children. If we want to deal with it from a spiritual perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're here to disagree and not be disagreeable.
Mm-hmm.
The God of your understanding. I have no problem with the God. You expressing the God of your understanding. I'm expressing the God of my understanding. We have different relationships with the Creator.
Exactly.
But the Creator created all of us.
Yeah.
Hmm. Amen, amen. You know, I would add on to that, and I'm not going to agree or disagree with anyone, but what I am going to say is from what I have experienced through my life, I cannot blame my child or children. I can't. When I say my child, I'm not just speaking solely of my child. I'm speaking, I cannot blame the children of today totally for their actions unless I look into the way I've brought them up, what I've introduced them to. What example have I set for them?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, yes, years ago, the parent, the woman would stay home and raise the child. But we live in a society that doesn't always permit us as women to stay home and raise the child, or the father to be the disciplinary person, because let's face it, sometimes when we are at work, we undergo so many pressures and so much stress that it spills into our homes, into the very lives of the children that we bring up. And sometimes they are neglected.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's not their fault. They didn't ask to come here. So where do we draw the line? When do we take a look at ourselves, at our upbringing, and do we try to sort of research what made us dysfunctional, and not let it spill over into the lives of our children? That's what I am looking for, and I wish I had a young youth on this line that could give me a perspective from her perspective of how they feel about the situation, because we can debate and comment on how we feel a child should be, how disrespectful the child is. But what's the cause? What's the root? That's what I'm trying to get to. What's the root of the real problem? I only see that, as I said, I made a statement, as my statement was, when I was growing up, I am not going to get totally into my life, but, and at some time perhaps I will, but for me, I did not receive the love that I wanted. And at that age, young age, I could remember myself always feeling sad And growing up, pretty much in despair, venturing into all types of promiscuous behavior and doing everything up under the sun, searching for affection, searching for just somebody to understand how I feel, someone or something to make me feel better about myself. And thank God that, yes, like Apostle said, yes, I did come up in a dysfunctional family, but I had a grandmother who, God bless her, she didn't really have the knowledge and understanding that we have today, but she knew enough to know that the love that I was searching for, she passed some of it to me. And as a result, today, my mother passed love to me.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result today, I love. And when I love, I love hard.
Love. I want you.
You know, I love hard. I love, I try to love unconditionally. And it took me a long time to grow into not looking to others for self-approval, not looking and venturing into things that I had no business in venturing into for acceptance.
My parents didn't tell us.
In the world. Because I didn't really feel accepted.
Right.
And so then what I'm saying is, how long? And that went, and I'm going to go back to that. That went on for pretty much in my life. It could even clean up until almost now. Until I read the scripture many times in John as Jesus was being baptized. He went down in the water, and John described the dove that came when he came up out of the water. The dove descended down upon his shoulders, and the voice of God saying, "This is my son whom I am well pleased." And what I was thinking was, I said, the dove didn't go down in the water with Christ. He didn't say, okay, Christ, Jesus, this is what you got to do. Your father approves of it. It says the spirit descended down upon him like a dove. And it came down upon him when he came up out of the water. And so that was his approval. Yeah. You are my son who I am well pleased. And so what I say is, we don't wait until our children are drowning in sorrow and in despair and in violence and getting engulfed with all pleasures of the world. We tell them before. We tell them, hey, I love you.
Amen.
I accept you. I accept you unconditionally. Whatever you do, it's not too hard for me to understand. It's nothing too much for me to turn. I'm not going to turn you away. I'm going to love you unconditionally for whatever the world thinks of you. I'm going to love you. And so that's what I'm trying to get across. Because truthfully, we can have faith. We can have hope until we have faith in Christ. And we can't have faith in Christ until we know who he is. We can't have faith in God until we get a we don't never really know God, but we need to get a relationship with God. And the only way we can get a true relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. So, with that, I am going to close this discussion. And before I close, I ask that if will there be any other comments, anything anyone wants to add, feel free. Well, with that,
the
in
comment
mind,
I was making. It just, you just want to love. That's the word I was trying to tell Apostle. It begins with love. You can be in the greatest family, but if that family doesn't have love, and back in our days, our parents didn't tell us, I love you, Carolyn. They showed us love. We barely got hugs and kisses because that was not something that they did that I know of in my generation. And these kids today, their love is being bought. Like buying them a cell phone, buying them a basketball, taking them to a concert, but to actually give them love and say, hey, let's go to the park, let's sit down and have a picnic. That's not what they do anymore. And that's what the point I wanted to come out. It has to be love. I don't care who it comes from or where. They have to really, we get a lot of fake love, a lot of facades, but the genuine agape love, very seldom do we get that. God bless.
God bless. God bless. Anyone else? Anyone else? You know, as you were mentioning that, I had these two things that flashed before my eyes. I remember my grandmother. We didn't dress in today's fashion. We didn't dress in the latest fashion. We couldn't afford it. She couldn't afford it. And so that downstairs just below is we lived in a tenement building in Harlem, and it had like five stories, and it was a walk-up. And my grandma, she had the worst case of asthma, and she would come down those steps, and she would drag me, and we'd go shopping, and her version of shopping was going to the thrift store. Just below us, adjacent below us, was a thrift store, and it was called Edna's. And Edna, every Wednesday, Edna would get a big blanket, and she would fill it up with everything that she just about clothing and toys, and no, clothing that she had in the store. And all the women, the elderly women mostly, was there, and they would have on their, my grandma would have on her dress, and she would bend down, pull that dress up, and wait for Edna to drop this big blanket with tons of things. And everybody would start digging in when Edna said, all right now, go for it. But on the other side, Edna would take all the toys that she had and place it in a corner. And all the women who had children, their children would flock, including myself, would flock to that corner. And we would get the greatest joy and happiness every Wednesday when Mom took me to that store. And that was my love. That's how I saw love. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that grandma set me on her lap every day mm-hmm. and told me, oh, you're a beautiful child. You're going to grow up to be beautiful. You're going to grow up to be a president. You're going to grow up mm-hmm. to be a successful woman. I mm-hmm. love you. It was the way mm-hmm. she showed it.
Yes, ma'am.
It was the way she showed it.
When
even
showed it.
In doing, demonstrating little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I leave you with this remark before I close this out or ask someone to close this out. Do we truly, as caretakers, when I say caretakers, I mean parents, because let's face it, some of us don't have a father and a mother in the same home. So we mm-hmm. call them caretakers, providers. Earthly providers. Do we take time to teach our children about the scripture? Do we take time not to just tell them about the scripture or point out scripture to them, but explain God, God's love in the entire scripture? Do we just tell them, oh, God is furious with you, you're sinful, the wrath of God is going to be upon you? Because even in that wrath that God gives, in the judgment that he gives for the unjust, mm-hmm. he still loves us mm-hmm. unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I end with that, and I thank each and every one of you for being on this line and mm-hmm. taking part in this discussion. And I'm going to ask Apostle Armstrong, would you close mm-hmm. us out in prayer? Apostle Armstrong, are you there? And if not, I'm going to ask Evangelist Carolyn Crouch, because I heard your voice, to close us out in prayer. Would you close us out in prayer, Evangelist?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And Father God, we ask for forgiveness. We thank you for this wonderful, wonderful discussion. It is an eye-opener to all of us, whether we are saved or not. Where does love really come from, and how do we do as parenting our children? Help us to do better, but help them to do better, girl, because so many of them are so disrespectful or so dishonorable and just so seeds of just ugliness. They disrespect us at the bus stops and in the cars, and they disrespect us in the retails and the grocery stores because they can, because they allowed it almost to get away with it. But, Lord, come back in and conform them and turn them around. Turn them from their coward ways and their wayward ways. Turn their hearts, their minds, their souls towards you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, bind everything that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We thank you for Evangelist Renee Strong. We thank you for this word and those that have heard it, those who are listening, God, that they will be inspired to even do better, God. We can't be better, but we must be better. Help us to be better parents and help our children to do better and to be, let us be examples, the living witness of the Lord, as unto our children. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you, kind master, for health and wealth. And God, we bless your holy name. Amen.
Amen and amen. And I amen. Just want to thank you all once again. Have a blessed evening, a safe night. May the Lord protect and guide you all through the week. God bless
yes,
you.
Lord.
Shalom.
God bless. Shalom.
God bless.